Yeah, I don't think that's a good way to share your faith. We started a series a couple weeks ago called Can I Get a Witness? Looking at ways to share our faith and what the Bible has to say about evangelism and sharing our faith, a key part of who we are as believers because Jesus told us to. So that was the first message. Why share your faith? Why tell other people about Jesus? Why is this so important in Christian faith? Because this is what Jesus told us to do. The last thing he said to disciples as he was ascending into heaven was, go and preach the gospel, tell the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's a command. This is something that you and I are told we must do. It's not an option. And so that was the first message. And so today we're going to continue the series looking at, well, how can we share our faith? And we're looking at an amazing example out of the New Testament, out of the book of Acts again, of somebody who, this is an incredible story, and many of you have heard it before. Before we do that, there was a little class, and a teacher asked the children in her Sunday school class or their kids' ministry. She said, if I sold my house and car and I had a big garage sale and gave all the money to the church that I got from my garage sale instead of my house, would I go into heaven? No, the children answered. If I cleaned the church every day, mowed the lawn, and kept everything neat and tidy, would I get into heaven then? Again, the kids answered, well, no. Well, she continued, then how do I get into heaven? In the back room, a 5-year-old boy shouted, you gotta be dead. I've got an individual digging out our pond this week, and we had a very brief conversation, invited him to church, and there's two sure things in life. One of them is death, and the other one is taxes. So this is a conversation that does pop up here now, every now and then. So we are all going to face, all of us, in this room and outside that don't know Jesus, death at some point. And so one of the other reasons why we share faith is not because just we're told to, but because people everywhere will die. And when they die, they will stand before God. And so what we say and what we do and how we live matters not for just this life, but for eternity. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to read a passage of scripture from Acts chapter 8, and it's from verse 26 and 20 and following. So it reads this, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the Lord, to the road, to the south, that's, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch and an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of Ethiopians. This guy's a very good accountant in the old days. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. It's a little weird. So Philip's one of the early church leaders, and so he gets this, you know, angel appears to him and says, go. Well, when an angel appears to you, I've never had an angel appear to me yet, and by all accounts, I'm not sure I want to, because everybody who sees an angel, like, they tremble in fear. But anyways, Philip doesn't hear. So the angel says, go. So that's kind of a no-brainer, right? So he's there. But then he's next. And then he says, just go. The Spirit then says, go next to that chariot. Okay. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And so then he starts a conversation. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. Wow. What an opportunity. Yeah. So he invited Philip to come in and sit with them. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Whoa, like ding, 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 opportunity galore. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? This is one of the Old Testament prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. And one of the great ones for Philip to hear, because he has an amazing, I know who that is. I know who that is. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And so he gave orders for the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. How's that for a quick conversion? Right, yeah, I'm reading scripture, because he obviously was an observant Jew, and he's reading this passage. Just happens to be a passage from Isaiah. Just happens to be a passage that's very easy to link to Jesus, the Messiah that's coming. Philip takes the moment, shares the good news of Jesus Christ. He becomes a Christian. Says, well, now let me get baptized too. Let's do that. I'm jumping all in. And so he baptizes him. When they came up out of the water, I love this. The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. The first and only time teleportation in the Bible happens. It's like, wow! Philip, however, appeared at Ephesus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Wow! Now, there's some amazing principles in this passage, in this story, for us as we look at it, as we ask ourselves the question, you know, how can we be effective witness? What were the keys going on in Philip's life that led him to this amazing experience and this amazing privilege to share the gospel and to see somebody converted and then disappeared and ended up somewhere else where he continued preaching the gospel and telling people about Jesus? So here's just a couple of quick points for us to think about this morning. First of all, and we've heard this over and over again, but Philip listened. Now, you might go, duh, if an angel came to me, I would listen too. Like, that's like the trumpets and the skies open and there's an angelic being. Like, that's a no-brainer. Like, if an angel comes and tells me to do something, I'm pretty sure, no matter what it is, I'm going to do it. Either just because I'm just terrified out of my mind or because that's such a supernatural experience that happens so rarely and so infrequently, I'm going to do it anyways. So there's that part of the listening to the super. If that ever happens to you, you better listen. So he listens, obviously, at that point. But I think what's even more important, what's even more subtle, which is more relatable for you and I, is that when he gets to where he's going to on that road down to Jericho, then the Spirit says to him, go over to the chariot. Now, where'd the angel go? Like, you sent me an angel the first time, so you told me to come here. Okay, so angel, now tell me what I'm supposed to do now. No. It's a spirit within him, the Holy Spirit that each one of us has as Christians, if you read the first book of Acts, that prompts him and says, go over to that chariot and listen. And so Philip has a choice at this point. He can go, no, I'm going to wait for the angel. The angel's going to be the first time, and you know, I don't know that person. I don't know what's going on there. I don't want to do that. You come up with all the excuses of why you, I don't know, I had pizza on my way over here, so I'm not sure whether that's really what you want me. So, you know, we tend to do that, right? When you feel that prompting in your heart, oh, I should share the gospel. I should say something about what I read in my devotions this week. I should be generous to somebody. I should invite somebody to church. I mean, you fill in the blank, whatever the Spirit's stirring inside of your heart. Then what happens is then, for many of us anyways, maybe it's just me, this battle starts, right? Like, should I not? Like, should I say something? Should I ask something? Should I do what I'm told? Should I do what I'm asked? And there's this battle that goes on. And the amazing thing about Philip is, I think, is that he just listens. Just does exactly what the Spirit tells him to do. And he goes and he hears. And because he listens, he has this amazing opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. Now that begs the question, how do I listen? How do I know that it's God really speaking to me when that thing or that thought pops into my head or my mind or whatever else is going on? And there's a couple things I want to say about that. First of all, listening is a skill. Listening is a skill even for us in our day-to-day life. Because many of us aren't very good at it. Because it takes practice. Every skill that you have in life, whether it's playing an instrument, singing, building something, whatever God's given you, your talents and your gifts, some people have the magic ability to start and they're really good at something, but to get better, they have to practice and practice and practice and practice and practice to get good at that skill. And so if you want to get good at listening to God's voice, then guess what? You're going to have to practice. And when you practice, you're going to make mistakes. And that's okay. It would be better to try and listen to God and make mistakes than close off your heart and not do what God or what you think God or His Holy Spirit is asking you to do. Because here's what happens. If you keep saying, no, I don't think so, that was this, or that was an excuse, or I don't know that person, or I would, and you come up with all the excuses, and you keep pushing God away, keep pushing His Spirit away, keep ignoring it, no, then what happens is, is it actually gets harder and more difficult. And so for the first point about listening is that we need to practice. The second part is that this is kind of cool for Philip because Philip knew so well. So he goes down to the road. He's on the road. He hears the Spirit. He goes to the chariot. It's like it's all natural to him. Why? Well, I think there's a couple reasons why it's natural to him. First of all, because he had this amazing encounter with Jesus in the first place. So he was a Christian, born again, loved Jesus, part of the disciples, part of the early believers of church. So he had seen incredible things, been part of incredible things. So he had this experience of who God was. So that began his journey. But I would imagine, too, that there were many other times where he was also reading. He knew that passage of Scripture. So he had spent time doing devotions. He had spent time listening to God's voice in his quiet time. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not too good at quiet time. You know, I can do my devotions and check, okay, I read that, and go down the checkoff list, and then I can do my prayers, and then I got a prayer app on my cell phone, which is really helpful and really cool. So I can go down the list, and I can check off everything that I'm doing in my devotions. But the quiet time and the listening time is a lot more challenging for me. Remember a couple of years ago, obviously most of you know, we lived in Ontario. So we used to live in a little town called Washago, which is about an hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes north of Toronto. And so the winters are insane, like snow up to there, right? And so I remember one year we were out and our car had broken down. So I had taken the car around the corner. There was a little local garage and it had just snowed 2 feet the night before. So the roads weren't barely plowed. I could barely get, we had like a minivan Freestar thing. So I got it over there, but the tie rod was gone. And so the wheel was doing this. And so I had to get something done. So I took the car over there. My wife had all kinds of kids and she wasn't going to drive on the road. So I walked back. It was about a half an hour walk back. But I remember because the snow had just fallen and it was like 2 feet of snow plus all the other snow around already. And there was no cars on the road. The plows were like, it was nuts walking back. I'll never forget how deafening the quiet was. It was terrifying for somebody who doesn't like quiet and for somebody who's always got something going on and something that's always busy and music going or whatever else it is, just to have that half an hour of just utmost silence. It was like being locked in a panic room with foam pads on where it's just like it's so quiet. Your ears are like, you know, that type of feeling, ringing. Now, we don't have to be that quiet, maybe if you like that, or right? But it does raise the value that in order for us to learn and to practice listening to God's Spirit, we do need a devotional life. We do need a life where we're studying God's Word and asking Him to pour in, because sometimes He'll speak through God's Word, through the Bible as well, too, to you and I, as I hope He's doing this morning. And other times He will prompt you through His Holy Spirit and through the messages that He wants you to hear and wants the things that He wants you to do. And if we're listening, then God can do some pretty amazing things through you and I. Now for many of us, that's terrifying. Because if God says to you, go here, what's your first question? Why? And then the second question is usually, well, what if, right? And so we come up with questions right off the bat. And I love Philip because there's no questions. Angel says, go, he goes. Holy Spirit says, go over there, he goes over there. He has this connection with God and this willingness to be obedient and just do it with all the what ifs, whys, and nos, and arguments, which come so easily for us. The second thing that Philip does here is he doesn't just listen, but he seizes the opportunity. And this is an amazing, amazing thing. And this is something that we can pray for. God, this is what I pray. God, help me seize the moment. Help me see the opportunities. Because I don't know about you, but a lot of times when it comes to faith, I wonder if I miss them half the time. You're having conversations with somebody, you walk away, go, did I just miss something? Like, should I have stopped? Should I invite them to church? Should I have told them something else? It's really tricky when you're a pastor. I've been dealing with people in trades and with the building that I'm doing and some other things in the last while. And even just meeting new people here and there in the community. And of course, what do you do for a living? There's always that pause because as a pastor, it's weird. Because if you say I'm a pastor, people change almost instantly. Like 1 minute they're cussing and talking this and that, what a smack and whatever. And then they go, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, I'm sorry that I swear. And I'm not. Right? So all of a sudden it changes, which is really weird if you're a pastor because I'm no different than anybody else. So that's one weird thing. So that's always like, well, do I really tell them who I am? Because then they're going to change and then we're not going to have a really good whatever. So there's always that challenge. And then sometimes there's a spiritual question where you're just nervous because maybe what you've been talking has been really anti-Christian or countercultural or whatever else it is. And you're like, well, if I say something, I don't know if this conversation is going to go very well or whether I'm actually going to have it. And again, we start asking and the debate starts flying in our head. Philip, here's a guy reading scripture and jumps on it immediately. Now, most of us are probably not going to walk up to a wagon or a car and hear somebody reading the Bible. If you do, seize the moment. But in your conversations, in your life, in your community, in the grocery aisle, you might overhear something. Something might pop in your head, in your heart. You might hear a conversation that a couple's having, and something inside of you clicks. And it might not even be, go say this. It might be, just go over there. Hi. I'm pretty sure that's probably how Philip started the conversation. Just jump on the back. Hey, let me tell you the interpretation of that. No, something happened. He didn't tell us all the details. But he listened and he seized the moment. It's really, really important to look for the opportunities to be God's hands and feet to the world around us. Jesus was a master at this. You flip back if you want to follow along in the book of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Mark chapter 4, and I know many of us know this story, but Jesus himself, now he's God, but Jesus has this knack for taking experiences in life and using them as teaching lessons for his disciples. And one of the probably most obvious ones is Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and following. Says this, the day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go to the other side of the lake there on Lake Galilee. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in a boat. There were also other boats with him. As a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care if we drowned? Now, Jesus could have gone so many different directions with this conversation and done so many things. But what does he say? He gets up. He rebukes the wind and the waves and says, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down. It was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why were you so afraid? Do you have so little faith? Sharing faith requires courage. But for many of us, for a whole host of reasons, one of the most terrifying things for us is to actually share our faith. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that based on personality, based on our culture and where it's at, and the worldview swirling around us. But Jesus wants us and has commanded us to share our faith by listening to him and by seizing those moments and those opportunities. And here's the amazing thing, that when you do this, now you might be not transported from one spot to another spot, whatever that means and whatever that looked like, but you're going to have the privilege of experiencing the remarkable, the supernatural, the incredible, because this is what God loves to do. Now, in our culture, we're really nervous about that. As Baptists, we're really nervous about that. Like, what if you read through the New Testament and there's all these things called spiritual gifts? Whoa, some of them are a little freaky. If you've ever been to a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church or a church where they're clinging off the chandeliers or they're singing a new song or they're flopping around in the aisles or whatever, there's some pretty crazy stuff that goes on out there. And I'm a Baptist. I don't do that type of, that's just weird. And there are stories. You're going to hear some stories in a couple weeks. I don't know what's going to happen or what these guys are going to share, but there are supernatural stories, I'm sure, of these young men, how God has transformed and changed their lives and brought them out of substance abuse and addiction to where they are today. When you listen, when you seize the opportunity, God does the miraculous. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, it's happened a few times in my life, and it's so amazing. One guy in church, there was a gentleman, he passed away, unfortunately, at a young age. He was out in a snowmobile and had a heart attack a few years ago. But he had an amazing heart for sharing faith. He owned an airplane salvage company. He was a pilot. And so he had actually hired one or two of the guys from our church, and his name was Peter, and he loved Jesus. He'd come to faith later on in life and just loved sharing the gospel with anybody that would listen, almost to the point where it was annoying. And he would bring people to church. He always dragged them to church. It was hilarious. And this one day, he brought this young guy who was about, I guess, 18 or 19 years old, and the kid did not look like he wanted to be in there. But this kid had substance abuse issues and all kinds of problems and everything else. And so Peter knew that this is where he had to be. And so he brought him to church that day. And I can't even remember what I talked about. I can't even remember what the sermon was about, or even the sermon in series, what it was about. But at the end of the service, Peter came up to me and said, "This guy wants to give his life to Jesus Christ." And so we went to the back, and we were able to lead him to Jesus Christ. What an amazing miracle and privilege to be a part of. Because Peter was listening to God's voice, and drag that kid out, share faith, whatever it was that Peter was doing, and he had done it many times. And so when we live like this, when we're listening to God, when we're seizing the moments and the opportunities, and even when you mess up and make mistakes, and well, that couldn't have been God, and maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, you'll never know till you stand before God someday. You think it's a failure, but maybe it wasn't. But as you reach out, as you listen, as you seize the opportunity, as you talk to people about Jesus, as you talk to people about your experience of God, what he's doing in your heart and doing in your life and how he's helping you and being generous to other people with your time and your resources, as you do those things, as you reach out, you will be able to experience the remarkable transforming power of God and his Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. Speaking about the power of Christ to redeem sinners and rebuild his church, Russell Moore recently wrote this: "The next Billy Graham might be drunk right now. The next Jonathan Edwards might be the man driving in front of you with the Darwin fish bumper on his car. The next Charles Wesley might currently be a profanity-speaking hip-hop artist. The next Charles Spurgeon might be managing an abortion clinic today. The next Mother Teresa might be the heroin addict porn star this week. The next Augustine of Hippo might be the sexually promiscuous cult member right now. Just like, come to think of it, the first Augustus of Hippo was one of the very early church leaders. But the Spirit of God can turn all of that around, and it seems that he delights to do so. The new birth doesn't just transform lives, creating repentance and faith. It also provides new leadership for the church, excitement and energy, and Jesus' promises of his gift to the church are fulfilled through these very actions. When you and I listen, seize the moment and share the love of Jesus Christ. And man, does the world need it today. With all of the problems in the world, with all of the issues in our culture, with every direction and misinformed step and every expert who's so far off the rails, the answer to all of our problems and struggles as a people, as individuals, as a society, as a world, is Jesus Christ and nothing else. The question is whether the church will listen and seize the opportunities that God brings our way to be used by him to be the transformation of the culture in the world around us. It's not going to be easy. Actually, it's going to be quite the opposite. Probably very, very difficult. It's going to take practice. You, me, we're going to have to step out of our comfort zone and do things and say things that I'm not quite so sure about. But as you learn, as you master the art of sharing your faith and seizing the moments and listening to God, you will have the privilege, and we will have the privilege, of seeing God's remarkable transforming power in all of our lives, in the lives of those who God wants us to minister to and to connect with. The question as you go out from this place this week is this. There's a couple of them. First of all, are you listening to God? Are you spending time in your devotional life? Are you reading through his word? You got some Bibles, some devotional books, whatever it is, and you're spending time and you're listening to God and you're growing in your faith. So that if somebody was reading their Bible in a car and you felt the Spirit going up and you listened and you heard them reading something out of the Bible, would you know what they're reading? Because if you're not doing devotional life, you probably won't. Because you ain't going to get it from me half an hour, 52 times a week, or 52 times a year. It just ain't going to happen. Are you listening to God in your devotional life? And are you spending the quiet time practicing listening? Are you practicing the obedience part, the seizing the moment part? Or throughout the week, you feel those little promptings. Do this. Be generous. Listen. Pray. Share. Talk. So many things that God can say to you. Practice in your work life. Practice in your social life. Practice with your family. Are you listening and are you seizing those moments? Because if we can do that, the world is going to be transformed. And the world will see Jesus Christ the way that they need to see Jesus Christ through your life and through my life. Let's pray. You might be here this morning or listening online and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life and this whole message is like, what is going on? Listening to God, hearing God's voice, like season, you can't do any of that unless you have a relationship with Jesus and maybe he is prodding you right now and you're sensing this voice in your heart and he's saying, I want you to give your life to me. I love you. I want to forgive you. I want a relationship with you. Then you have the amazing opportunity this morning, today, to give your life to Jesus and become a Christian so that you can hear his voice, be filled with his Holy Spirit, and you can become part of the solution in this world and part of the church and the body of Jesus Christ and be called God's son or daughter because he loves you, because he died for you, because he wants to forgive you and live in relationship with you. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you will be saved, Romans tells us. For the rest of us, are you listening to God? Are you spending time in devotions? Are you spending time listening? And if not, promise to God today, I'm going to take this time this week and I'm going to listen and I'm going to learn. And maybe you got that part lined up. You read and you learn and you listen. But it's the application of the, well, I don't know. You want me to do what? Help us to see the moments and the opportunities and help us to seize them, God. So that your Spirit will work through us and transform this world. For these things we pray in your most holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.